Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to episode number 30 of the Beyond the Ring with Big T Wrestling Podcast. I'm your host, Big T, here with you tonight. And I'm honored and privileged. We have a very special guest here with us tonight on the phone lines. A member of the illustrious Anoa'i wrestling family. We have Lance Anoa'i along right here with us tonight. Hello, Lance. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
Oh,
pleasure to be on here.
You're welcome. Anytime. Well, I want to start off by asking you, you know, so everybody gets to know a little bit about you and what got you to where you are today. When was the first time, you know, when you were, say, a child, that you first seen wrestling on TV or even live in person? And when was that moment when you decided, you know what, I love this, I know I love this, and this is what I'm going to do with the rest of my life?
Well, if you know my family history, and if you know your wrestling history, then obviously you know my family history. I'm part of the Samoan dynasty, my grandfather off of the Wild Samoan. My father is head shrinker Samu. My uncle is Rikishi, Yokozuna, Umaga, Roman Reigns, the Usos, Uncle Manu, just the list goes on. Just how much talent that came out of our family. And when I first seen wrestling, obviously it was with my family. My dad used to take me, on the road with him. So every time he'll go on the road, he'd take me, just lug me around on top of the suitcase, wheel me in the locker room with him. And it's funny because now, like, when I go to, like, WWE for, like, extra work or something, like, all these people remember me as, like, the kid that my dad used to wheel out, and now I'm 24 years old following my family footsteps. But true story, when I was 3 days old, right out the hospital, my father took me, he laid me in the ring, he hit the rope, and then dropped a big leg on me at 3 days old. So that was my very first time inside of a wrestling ring.
Wow, so it didn't take long.
No, not at all. My grandfather said my head was just bouncing up and down like a little bobblehead. He was so furious at my dad, but it made me hard-headed, and yeah, look what I'm doing. I'm following the dream.
And
I
was going to say, when you use the words the dream, and you know how accurate those words are. Everything about this business is, it is like the good old American dream. You gotta love it.
Oh, it is. I never wanted to wrestle growing up. I always loved watching my family perform, entertaining the fans. And just for some reason, it was never there for me. And then once I reached high school, about my junior year in high school, I started considering wrestling. Like, as a kid, I was in the ring with my dad hitting 450s, like doing run-ins or managing him. But it just never hit me like that. This is what I want to do. My junior year in high school, all through high school, I played baseball. I played football, basketball, but once my high school career was over, I decided that I wanted to start wrestling. And so my junior year in high school, I started training. My father started training me and at the Wild Samoan Training Center. And I also learned from my grandfather off of the Wild Samoan. And then from there, I made my debut in the middle of my senior year in West Virginia. And from there, 6 years later, I'm still going. So 2010, I broke in, really. So I can't complain. I'm happy with my accomplishments so far. And I'm just, like I said, living a dream now.
And you know what? Going at it for 6 years, it's basically like you're already getting to the point where you are a veteran in the ring. You know, 6 years in, that's a pretty decent amount of time spent in the ring. And, you know, you mentioned that you started in 2010. What was training like to try to get to this point where you are now? Because I can imagine training with, you know, members of your family at the, you know, the Wild Samoan Academy or wrestling school. I can imagine that they had very tough workouts for you guys to do, because I know how your family takes pride in their wrestling. And I just want to dive into what it was like going through training and what it was like to get to this point.
So, starting out of high school, I was a good cardio, good conditioning. It was like, I started going. Like, I was good. Like, going to training, doing 1,000 squats, hitting the ropes for 5 minutes. It's just a process. It's nothing like real cardio. Being in-ring cardio and cardio is completely different. So it took me a while to get used to it when I first started. But then time just picked up. It started to pick up. My family, they pushed me to my limit every time. And if this is what I want to do, we're not giving 100%. We're giving 150%, 200%. We're pushing hard. So it was like real hard. Like, I just had to always be better than the next guy. I want to make a statement here. I want to prove that this is where I belong. So the bumps I pretty much had, it was pretty easy for me to learn, just because helping my dad or managing and hitting 450s and all, I kind of got used to it. And also being at training as a kid, I always watched my grandfather train his students. So it just hit me, like it reminded me on how to do it. So with the training with 20 guys, 20 of my good friends. I also had my very first match with one of the guys I started with, Mike Valentino. He's one of my dad's guys. And me and him, we just pushed each other. Went to school together, and we just pushed and pushed and pushed. And then my father, like, if I did something wrong, he'll get right on top of me. He'll start screaming, making me do it right, and then he would not stop. Training to end at 8. I don't leave until like 9:30. It was brutal, but this is what I want to do. This is what I signed up for. So, yeah.
And putting
when
in
you got family shoes, but still, you just gotta put all your heart into it.
Yep, exactly. And you know, putting that extra time in—that's exactly what you need to do to achieve it. And I know, when you first started your career, when you finally got to get in that ring and have your first pro match in, WXW, how did it feel getting in the ring for the first time, you know, wrestling in front of a crowd and getting that adrenaline of the crowd just behind you, cheering for you or, you know, booing you, depending on if you're a face or a heel, and just that first ever reaction.
The first reaction, I was nervous out of my mind. I couldn't breathe. I felt like I was hyperventilated. I couldn't believe, like, this is happening. Like, I'm about to do this for the first time. And I've been out in front of crowds, and I just didn't understand. But it's like, actually, I'm going out there. I'm the one that's performing, entertaining the people. And then once I hit that crowd, and then I started feeling them, I started feeling their energy. It just felt so much easier, and the whole match just got easier. But the way I look at it now, if I look back and watch my match now, it's completely different. You can just tell, like, how much more relaxed, how much more I've grown in professional wrestling. And I always look back, because without that, maybe I wouldn't be here the way I train now and wrestle now. So I always learn from my mistakes, and I'm not saying my first match was a mistake. I'm just saying it was completely different, like how fast I moved in a ring
and how fast I have to move, literally move now.
It's all just time in, my psychology was off, and now everything just grown on me, grown, bro. I guess you learn from your mistakes, and I watch it over and over every time, and it just reminds me of how much I've grown and how much more I can keep growing in this business.
Well, you know, speaking of growing in the business, I ran across a couple of things. It was a few days ago, and it actually made me smile because I knew this interview was upcoming, and you know, I felt proud to read what I've read because I read a few things online, and there was a report on SportsKita.com. Like 5 top prospects or something that the WWE should look into for 2017, and you were on the list of the top 5 that I guess people are saying that the WWE should have on their list to call up in 2017. And when I saw that, I smiled. I felt, you know, I felt proud. I was happy for you when I read that, and I don't know if you got a chance to read the article, but that's why I'm bringing this part up now, because you're talking about growing the business, and you see from where you started, and did you get a chance to read the report, and if so, you know, how did that make you feel to see that this hard work is paying off?
I read the article. I enjoyed it. I was very pleased, and I'm proud to be on the list. Number 5 on the top 5 is an accomplishment. It's who would have ever seen, well, I would have never seen me as a top 5 prospect for WWE on a WWE list that people are talking about. And now it's like truly showing like this hard work is paying off. It's slowly but surely it will pay off. And just, I don't know, it's just a huge success for me. I just had a baby girl, my newborn baby, Peyton. I just had her 2 weeks ago. So it's like everything is just all coming together. I was top 5, I had a newborn, I just was on WWE Raw this past Monday. So everything's just slowly falling into place, and I'm happy for it.
Oh, congratulations, you know, to you and, your family on your newborn.
Oh, thank you so much.
Oh, you're welcome. Now, you said you were on Raw this past Monday. What was your involvement in the show?
So, WWE got along with me and they just wanted, a few extra guys. So they contacted my dad and school, so they contacted me and then asked for a few of our guys to come and help out, be an extra also. WWE loves giving opportunities to people. So, me and my father, we put together, like, some of our top prospects, and out of our school, we take them and invite them, and then, so there was 3 of us. It was a total of 4 of us who went up there. And we were on the road with them Monday and Tuesday for Raw and SmackDown, and Monday, they said, well, we're going to use you guys as security. So we said, okay. And then find out it was to keep Goldberg and Brock Lesnar from brawling in the ring. So we just stand and told the film with Brock Lesnar and Goldberg in the ring.
I was watching that segment. That was getting intense.
Yeah, it was. So I'm in the locker room and we're going over our duties. And then all of a sudden we're standing in the middle of the ring. I got Goldberg in front of me, I got Brock Lesnar behind me, and Paul Heyman. And then about 5 minutes into the promo, I feel this huge push from in my back. Brock Lesnar just shoves me down to the ground.
I saw that. That was a big bump.
Yeah. So I wasn't expecting it. Nobody else was expecting it. And I just whiplash. I was like, oh, man. So then I got back up. And then Goldberg was going crazy, so I had to leave. So I just left. It was all, you know, it's all entertaining, so. But just having that opportunity and sharing that opportunity with guys I trained with, it's pretty awesome. Like I said, I believe everyone deserves an opportunity in this business. You train hard, you work hard, you deserve it.
Oh, I agree with you. Now, I seen when Brock pushed you down, and is he as strong as everybody makes him out to be?
Oh, yeah. Well, have you seen the other guy he pushed that was standing next to me? I believe he went all the way out the ring. He went past Goldberg or right out the ring. So, yeah, Brock's a big guy, but Goldberg is also. So, I wouldn't mess with either of them.
What a history-making segment, though, on Raw for you to be a part of, especially on a go-home Monday Night Raw for Survivor Series.
What was it? I'm sorry.
It was, this was actually 6 days before the Survivor Series, so a history-making segment for you to be a part of on, like, a go-home show, you know, for Raw for the Survivor Series.
Oh yeah, it was awesome. Like the whole even being backstage, especially with my family, my cousin Roman Reigns and all that. So it's like being part of that, and especially that segment. Like 12 years in the making, you got Brock Lesnar versus Goldberg, and I'm in the ring with both of them. Like it was ridiculous. And then the next day we go to Tuesday, and then I'm in the locker room with Undertaker, and for the 900th episode of SmackDown.
Wow.
900 episodes of SmackDown, like, and I was part of that also history. It's like, I was there. So it was pretty awesome.
Did you get to, wrestle in, like, any dark matches on, the SmackDown tapings?
No, we didn't have no, matches. We didn't have no trial matches or anything. The one guy actually did. He wrestled James Ellsworth in a dark match. Ricky Martinez, he's from this area also. They gave him the opportunity. They chose one of us. They chose him. So, but it was just so much going on with the whole Undertaker, with the whole Edge, with the whole setting up for Survivor Series. It was just a lot. So we kind of understood, but we still got to look at us, even though we were on Raw. We didn't do much, but we still showed presence. And we showed them that this is where we want to be. We offer our help for everything, anything that they needed. So hopefully more opportunity comes. Well, I have a great opportunity coming up in January. They're actually sending me to the Performance Center for a tryout. I'll be down there. And hopefully more opportunity comes for the guys I took down and everyone else that was there.
I wish you the best of luck in that tryout.
Thank you so much.
I kind of would like to get a little insight on it. I don't know, if you know anything about what they do down there, but what I wanted to ask is now when you go in on this tryout and, you know, you do whatever they ask and whatever the testing is it possible that you could come out of that tryout with the contract in January?
It is very possible. If I go in there, show them what I can do, everything I... Well, this is my second one. I've done one 2 years ago. Is that at the Performance Center? They told me what I need to work on. I went out, I worked on it, and now I'm going out. They gave me another opportunity. So now I feel like they see that I'm changing. They see that I made a change from what they told me, so now they want to take another look at me. And hopefully this one's it. So, yeah, there's a huge chance that I could come out of there with a contract this January. It could also be they could tell me that they want to sign me, and they could hold off for a little bit, and then offer it later on, or they could tell me something else I have to work on. It could all, anything can happen.
You know what? I hope it all works out for the best, and I'm just thinking of something off the top of my head right now. Because I had Sean Maluta on my show 3 weeks ago. He was a guest on the show. And he actually mentioned you in WXW. You know, we were talking a little bit. And
yeah.
I know he's had a couple matches up there on NXT. And I'm just thinking, because I got the wheels rolling in my head, what would it mean for you to wrestle Sean Maluta on NXT? if you guys were to collide?
If we were to collide, it would be, all I gotta say is show stealing. Me and Sean, we never wrestled each other. We tagged plenty of times in the ring together. So, I think me and Sean could have a real good match. And I'd love to wrestle him. Either in NXT, in the Indies, anywhere. Like, it's magic happening when me and him will step in the ring. And I think someone should book it, and I believe, like I said, it could make magic happen.
I want to be correct on this, so I'll ask you, is Sean Maluda, is Sean your cousin?
Yes, Sean is my cousin.
Okay. I'll tell you this, I saw Sean, you know, battle against, Ibushi on the Cruiserweight Classic, and, you know, I've seen a few videos, you know, on what you do as well. And just putting the styles together and, you know, knowing your history and you guys are cousins, I just think that match could be a main event on NXT or, you know, anywhere, even in the Indies. You put that up on a billboard, I think you guys could main event it and put on a great show easily.
Oh, yes. Me and Sean, we're all about taking it to the next level. He's the king of flight school, the king of savant kick, and I like to take flight. I believe I take flight higher than him. So it's always a battle. I think me and him really should have them wherever we're at.
I would love to see it. You know, there's so many dream matches and possibilities, too. Like, you know, you could have you and Sean go up against the Usos. I mean, the possibilities are endless, you know, on what could happen.
Yeah, you never know what could happen in this business.
Anything could.
Yes.
Now, another thing I want to point out, because I actually was reading through my Pro Wrestling Illustrated Top 500 list, and I saw that you were number 406 on the list. You are in the top 500 in the world. I don't know if you got a chance to read the magazine as of yet, but being 406, being on that top 500 list and having that honor, you know, with so many thousands of wrestlers in the world that there are, how does it feel to be on that exclusive top 500 list?
So I've been wrestling for 6 years. This is, I believe, my fifth time on the 500.
Wow.
That's excellent. I kind of lost. Yeah. But being in the top 500 in the world, it's awesome. Like, I just in my head, I just think of, there's probably hundreds and thousands of wrestlers around this world. And everyone dreams of being in the top 500. And then to finally see my name just 2 years into my wrestling career or 1 year into my wrestling career, it's a huge accomplishment. Some people have been wrestling 13 years, never made it into the top 500. I did drop down a little bit. I believe last year I was 370, I believe, something. Not sure why. I know there's a lot of upcoming talent. There's awesome wrestlers, especially a good friend of mine, Leo Rush, who signed that deal with ROH, 2016 Top Prospect Champion. He also entered the list at a great number, especially for only being 1 year in. He's an amazing wrestler. He's an amazing person. But there's also hundreds of people that never been on, but finally made it this year, that their talents, like, I feel like wrestling is growing. Independent is growing now. So a lot more people are getting noticed now. And I'm happy for every single person that puts their heart and soul into wrestling. Who, this is what they want to do, why not give it 100? And then it shows their accomplishment on the top 500.
And, you know, I'm the same way as a fan as far as, you know, my heart and my passion for it. And that's why, you know, I do what I do. And, you know, I do my show and I, you know, try to get guests like you on and, you know, talk about these things in the wrestling business because I love the business, you know, and I want to contribute to it in some way. And, you know, everybody has their own certain loves for it. And I got to tell you, it makes me appreciate what you guys do in the ring because I've been to a lot of shows, you know, around the country, indie shows. Yeah. I've been, you know, from the smallest indie shows all the way up to WrestleMania. And, you know, no matter what I see and I see these guys and girls work, it makes me appreciate what you guys do even more, and especially, you know, traveling the country. Like, for me, just being a fan to go and witness you guys, like, even though I travel, you know, like, mainly once a year for WrestleMania, and then sometimes, you know, in the middle of the year, I'll go and see a couple shows out of state. Well, you know, even doing the travel, just those few times, I'm like, you know, it's well worth it. It's just one of those things, you know, you could be a fan or a performer. It's just one of those things that's so rewarding and it's so worth it. And, you know,
yeah.
If it wasn't for all of you, you know, a performer like you doing what you do in the ring, us as fans, we wouldn't be able to enjoy that wonderful feeling that we get, that adrenaline rush when we're sitting in the crowd watching you guys entertain. Because I'll tell you, from myself being one of the most hardcore fans, I believe in the world that I can't explain the rush I get in the, you know, how appreciative I feel just watching you guys do what you do in that ring and putting your bodies on the line every single night for our entertainment.
Yes. It is. It's all about giving 120-150% every single time you step in that ring. Whether you're in front of two people, whether you're in front of thousands of people, it should always be that 150%. Because that person, that one person I showed came to the show, he wants to be entertained. He wants to be, he paid his money to watch you wrestle. So he should get the same respect whether, like I said, 1,000 people in the building.
Exactly. And, you know, for all that, and, you know, for your mindset, you know, that you have, which is a great mindset, you know, to look at it. And just for the risks that you're willing to take, that's where I'm speaking for myself, and I'm sure most of the fans or all of the fans around the world when I say thank you.
No, you're very welcome. It's what we love to do. Thank you for coming out and watching us do what we love to do, and that is also perform in the ring and also entertain you guys. We're not the only ones taking a risk. A lot of people take the risk. The fans take the risk. They spend, wrestling is not cheap anymore. Well, I don't even think it ever been cheap. People are taking a risk, spending their money out, going WrestleMania, thousands of dollars. That's a couple of rents a month. It's just a risk that you take to enjoy being entertained.
Yes. You know what? You couldn't have said it. You could not have said it better. It is so true because I've done it now with WrestleMania 33 coming up. This is my 7th year in a row doing it. It's like just one of those things. I love it so much and I'm so hooked. It's like I got to take this risk and just find a way.
Yeah, you always take that risk. So that's what it's all about. Like I said, it's not just us. It's you guys also, all the fans, everyone is.
I appreciate that, you know, that, you know, you appreciate the fans as much as we appreciate you. And I want to talk a little bit more about your career. Let's see, 2010 is when you broke in. I want to see where I could break this down at. Once you got rolling and you got going, now you were wrestling for WXW all the way through, or did you have any stints in, like, other indie promotions, or was it mostly WXW?
So, So when I first started, it was a lot of WXW, and I also wrestled for a company, NWL Hassel Payne, down in Maryland, which is a good friend of my dad's, John Rambo. He has his own company down there. So I would go down there with my father, and we would wrestle down there. And then, but my mainstay is WXW C4, which is my father's company. WXW, my grandfather's down in Florida. But it was about two years in, I started traveling, a pro wrestling syndicate. I wrestled for NYWC in New York. I wrestled for House of Hardcore for Tommy Dreamer.
Oh.
I wrestled for Maryland Championship Wrestling. All these huge companies. And yeah, just being, like I said, just being 2 years in, getting the recognition to get in these companies like House of Hardcore, Maryland Championship Wrestling, that like the Hardys came from Maryland Championship Wrestling. Tommy Dreamer is the promoter of House of Hardcore. He recognized me and enjoy how I wrestle, and being able to put me on his show, like, it's a huge accomplishment. I got to wrestle guys like Tony Nese, who's part of the Cruiserweight Classic. I wrestled Rich Swann plenty of times. I wrestled Carlito. I wrestled Homicide. I wrestled Matt Stryker a few times. I have tagged with my father. I tagged with my uncle, Rikishi. I also got to tag with my grandfather. I brought him out of retirement for his very last match in 2013.
Wow.
Sorry, 2014, I brought him out of retirement just so we could get that one match that nobody has ever seen in professional wrestling. We did three generations in one ring. So it was me, my father, and my grandfather all in the ring together.
That had to be one of the most special moments of your career right there. Just hearing three generations coming together in one ring, one match at one time. Wow.
Yeah, it was awesome. Like, this is one thing that I want to do. So once I knew I was ready and I was rolling in the business, I had a few titles under my belt. I had companies. I just felt like I was ready. And that's when I called my grandfather. I told him, I was like, I know, because he previously said he had his last match already, which was down in Florida with Sean Maluda. But I told him, I said, we have to make history. I said, we got to do it. I said, this is it. I said, three generations, one ring. And then he didn't want to do it with just me, my father, and him. So we were going to do a six-man tag. He said, no. He says, if I do it, he wants the family in it. So then we added my two uncles, Alpha Jr. and Lloyd, L.A. Smooth. So we joined a 10-man tag match. So it was me, my uncles, my dad, and my grandfather. And then once we set that match, the place went nuts. And we packed the building that we were in for everyone to come see that happen.
Unbelievable. Who ended up walking away with the big victory that night?
My grandfather did.
That, you know what, in his last match, there's no better way to go out but on top.
Yeah. The fans also went out on top. They got a hell of a show, and they got to witness that last match. And like I said, it was awesome. That's the only word I can describe. Like, I had my heroes in the ring with me, and I can't complain. So that was absolutely my favorite moment so far in this business, and I think it's going to be very, very hard to top it.
Yeah, I was going to say, you know, even though, you know, of course, you know, we strive, you know, you guys strive to get that world title and WrestleMania moments, but it's like that moment that you just shared. That's like the best of the best right there. Like, how can you top it? Really?
Yeah, I honestly, I don't think a WrestleMania could top it. for me. I just, cause just that feeling, being in the ring with my family is the best feeling in the world. It's just, I don't know, being there, especially with my grandfather, he never wanted me to wrestle. And then I'm out here doing this and tagging with him. I'm tagging with a WWE Hall of Famer right now. It's like, wow.
Yeah,
I don't think anything will be able to top that.
And you know what, it just sounds like a beautiful moment, and you know, moving forward past all that, you know, going through your career over the 6 years you've been in the ring. Obviously now we know that was your favorite moment that you've had, and you know, what are some other ones that you had as far as, you know, maybe favorite matches, favorite feuds, you know, opponents that brought out the best side in you and you brought out the best side in them and pushed each other to the limits? What are some good battle stories?
Well, my also favorite moment was right behind that one was we did a show. It was the Yokozuna Memorial. Second annual. So we did a big show and we had a ton of guys. We had Road Dogg, we had Sandman, we had Rikishi, we had, Too Cold Scorpio, we had Viscera, rest in peace. Who else? We had, dang, I can't even think off the top of my head, but we had tons of guys on the show. And then I opened the show with a one-on-one match. It was a very opening. And then I thought that was it. And then intermission comes, and my dad goes, I start to get undressed, and my dad goes, he goes, what are you doing? I said, I'm changing. I'm done. And then he goes, no, you still got the main event. I said, really? He goes, yeah. He goes, you're tagging with me and Uncle Junior. I said, really? So it was like such an awesome feeling, because now I'm about to tag with my dad and my uncle. I was like, wow, like, and this was, I was just a few months in, and it was pretty awesome, like, just to be there, especially for the benefit of Yokozuna, that I'm tagging with my father and uncle as the head shrinkers. So it was pretty awesome, like, that was another top moment, like, my dad got me.
And especially being a few months in, you know, you go from starting off the card and you think you're done, and then your dad just comes in and lays that on you then.
Yeah, like I wasn't expecting that. It was almost like that Brock Lesnar push. Like I wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, you're like, that kind of got me in left field, but like, thanks, Dad.
Yeah, but it was awesome. Like, I'm not complaining. If my career were to end today, I would have nothing to regret. I did what I wanted to do, but my career's not over. I'm still doing it, so, and I don't plan on stopping or slowing down anytime soon. But my key opponents, I had, and there were so many, like, I just learned so much from every single person I've been in the ring with. Like, one of my favorite all-time matches was against Carlito. We did it for my father's company. It was a big benefit show we did at a high school, not too far from my house. But yeah, it was just like, just learning from him. Also like Curt Hawkins, he was another one. Like I never really called a wrestling match on the fly. And with those guys, especially Homicide 2, it's like they helped me a lot understand more. Not saying that my family didn't teach me, but just being on the road and learning from different people, you get the knowledge of all different types. And I just let it sink in, and I remember I just enjoy every moment I step toe-to-toe with somebody that's been in the ring for a while. That's really in-ring vet. But like, even from the new guys, I even learned a lot. Like I said, Leo Rush, ROH Top Prospect Champion,
he only been doing it for a year. I wrestled him probably 6-7 times already. And it's just, I learned from him, he learns from me. And when me and him get in the ring, it's also like magic because the chemistry is great. But yeah, so like I said, I learned from everyone I'm in the ring with.
And you know what? That's the best way to go about it because you're taking a little piece of everything with you.
Yeah, everyone always has a different style. And it's like you find what's comfortable for you.
And just by the way you sound and by the way you describe everything and how your career is going, you sound like you're in your comfort zone. You know, and you're just rolling with the punches and, you know, just going with it day by day and taking what comes. And
that's exactly what I do. I'm not Thomas tomorrow. Nobody is. So that's all I do. I take it day by day. I enjoy what I do. I work a full-time job. I train. I wrestle shows. I entertain. I have a child. I do everything. I live everything day by day.
That's the best way. Now I'm going to move on and I'm going to ask you because I have gone, like I said, I've been to like the past 6 WrestleManias and I've got to witness all the Hall of Fame inductions that come with it. And I got to witness, you know, like Yokozuna getting inducted into the Hall of Fame and, you know, your Uncle Rikishi getting inducted into the Hall of Fame and, you know, in, what was it, San Jose, California in 2015. And that was like a real special moment for me when I listened to your uncle speak and when he, you know, got his Hall of Fame ring and then he's dancing with the Usos on the stage to close it out. It was a beautiful, beautiful speech. And I'm just curious, did you get a chance to actually go along and witness this for yourself in person?
No, I didn't actually get to go to San Jose to see, my Uncle Kishi get inducted to Hall of Fame. I was actually on the way there. I was actually traveling there and then I got a phone call that my uncle wasn't doing so good, that he had cancer. So I set that all to the side, and I changed my flight, and I went to go visit my uncle in Washington State, who has cancer, and I just went and spent the whole week with him, and just enjoyed spending my time with him, and then a year later, he ended up passing away from cancer.
Oh, I'm sorry to hear that.
I don't regret not going to WrestleMania. I'm very happy that I made that choice by going to visit him and spend a lot of time with him, and he called me the son he never had, so it was absolutely amazing just spending that time with him.
I'm glad you got to do that, and I'm real sorry to hear about your uncle's passing, but yeah, you know, spending that quality time, there's nothing like it, and you definitely made the right choice.
Yeah, to WrestleMania before, I was actually in the Miami one when Yokozuna got inducted. I witnessed that one. I went to New York. I went to the one my grandfather got inducted. And hopefully the next one I go to, my dad will be inducted. So, yeah, I've been to my share of WrestleManias and that's just a risk I had to take.
Yes, yes. And, you know, I'm going to ask, you know, with the couple that you've been to and, you know, the Hall of Fame inductions and going out there and being a part of that history-making weekend. Now, I know that as far as advice along the way that you've gotten for this business, I know your family has probably given you the best advice possible. And what I wanted to ask was, besides your family, what was some of the people that you've gotten the greatest advice from? I mean, I know you take a little bit from everybody, but who were some of the people that gave you the best pieces of advice that you really hold near and dear to your heart?
Tommy Dreamer.
Tommy Dreamer helped me out so much with everything. When I first met Tommy, I met him a few times, but when I first started wrestling and training, I also went up to his school, House of Hardcore School, a few times, and he told me that I'm one of the best wrestlers he's ever seen. My footwork, everything was just smooth, and he loved it. And then he kept talking to me about stuff that I can't approve, and if this is what I want to do, then I'm going to listen to him and I'm going to do it. So he just advice everywhere. Every time I'm with him, this past weekend, he was on Raw. I mean, he was at SmackDown. I just sat down, talked to him, had a full blown conversation, and everything just hits the heart and it hits the brain that I'm learning from him. And also, he gives me the opportunity to, I said, like, wrestle on his House of Hardcore show. He has tons of guys, like, guys that were signed, guys that are in TNA, top guys, and then he also asked me to be on his show. So it shows how much Tommy believes in me. And then I posted a photo the one time that I'm in Florida on Twitter, and Tommy seen it, and he gave me a text. He goes, "Hey, you're in Florida." I said, "Yeah." He says, "Well, meet me at my hotel in the morning." So I met him at his hotel, and then I get in the car, and then he goes, "You got your bag with you?" I said, "Yeah, I got my bag." I said, "Why?" I said, "Where are we going?" He goes, "The bag in the car." He says, "Let's go." So I ended up jumping in the car, grab my bag, going with him. We show up to Universal Studios. He gives me he goes, "Here you go. You got a TNA tryout." I said, "Really?" Like, it's just for him to go out of his way to see that and then help me out. I didn't get the greatest feedback from TNA, which I'm not okay with, but I learned from it. And Tommy also helped me out. He goes, "Even though I didn't get signed, it's just something's still going to be coming your way." And I just keep saying that to my head. And even this past week, he goes, "It's coming soon." So he goes, "Just be patient." He goes, "I promise you, you're going to make it." So just Tommy believing in me helped me so much.
That's an incredible story. And I got to tell you, Lance, you know, I know you take it day by day, but something is telling me that January is going to be the time when it's coming. I think that's how you're going to start off your new year.
I hope so, but like I said, man, day by day.
Well, you know what? The next question that I had for you, because I just got a couple more here. What were some of the championships that you've won throughout your wrestling career? And, you know, what did it feel like to finally wear gold, you know, when it was your first time in the business? Was it really special? Because I've talked, you know, to quite a bit of other guys, and, you know, they all explain it differently. But it usually all comes back around to once they wear gold, it's like the most special feeling in the world, you know, in the wrestling business. How was it for you?
In the wrestling business, wearing gold is like being married. You're wearing that belt around your waist. You're carrying it everywhere you go, especially the first time. I remember my first time I won a belt. It was the summer of 2011. I won the hybrid, which is like kind of our cruiserweight championship, our hybrid championship.
Mm-hmm.
And I won it in front of about a little over 1,000 people on the outdoor event that we do every year. And it was in my hometown, and all my friends, family, everybody was there. And just that moment, it was just like, yes, like it brought a tear to my eye. But unfortunately, when I won, I had to vacate it right away, so I kind of didn't get to enjoy it, because I won the title, and then a month later, I was leaving the college, and I wasn't even supposed to wrestle anymore until I was done with college.
Oh, wow.
So I moved out to Washington State,
with my uncle and my aunt, and then I was about to start college, and I just missed wrestling so much while I was out there. There was no wrestling. I couldn't find no schools out there. It was just, I missed it. So then a week before school started, I was like, I gotta go back home. I said, I miss this way too much. So then I ended up going back home. I didn't go to college. I came back home, applied to a little community college out here by me. Did a few years there. And then just continued my wrestling career. And finally, when I got to win the gold and actually hold it, it was like, yes, I made the right move by staying, by coming back home. Especially winning it right back in my hometown. But yeah, it's like being married. I remember I wore the bed. I carried it everywhere. It was in my car with me going to school, to college. Like, I always had that belt with me everywhere I went. I wore it to the mall at one time. It's like, it's something I cherish. Like, I enjoy it. It's an accomplishment.
Hey, I don't blame you. You know what? If I was in the ring as an active performer, you know, I would do the same thing, because that's like the ultimate prize. That's what all these years of blood, sweat, and tears, and just hard work. It's to wear that gold, you know. That's really what it is. I mean, if you're not in the business to win gold and be the very best, then, you know, it's like, why are you in it? You know, everybody that works, like you and everybody in your family and everybody that has worked their fingers to the bone and gave all their blood, sweat, and tears, that's the goal in the end, to be the best and wear that gold. And it's,
my
point of view is the gold, it's, to me, it's not everything. It proves that you're one of the best, you are the best, but it's not everything, because without it, I'm going to do the same thing that I'm doing with it. It's a trophy that you hold. That's the way I see gold. No matter what, I'm going out there giving 150% each and every single time I'm in that ring. So whether I'm wearing the gold, which I prefer to wear the gold, but if I'm not, that don't mean I'm not the best. That means it's not my time. But I'm still going to go out there and do what I do.
I love that attitude. Like, I got to say, I've never talked. You know, like, I've talked to many different, you know, wrestlers on the show, like I stated, but I've never, you know, really spoken to anyone about the aspect of gold, pretty much. But I have seen, like, a lot of, you know, wrestling documentaries over time where you hear these wrestlers talking about basically, you know, some of them. I can't remember them by name, but I've just seen interviews, like, where it comes off as with some of these performers, like, the gold is everything, you know, that's what they absolutely need. And, you know, you have the perfect mindset, really, because it is true. You're going to do the same thing, you know, you don't have it, but you could still be the best, and you're right.
Yeah, exactly. It's just a different view everyone sees. But everyone don't see eye to eye. Everyone has their own different opinions.
Exactly. And I gotta say, you know, you have the best outlook on it. And I'm not just saying that, because, you know, you've overcome challenges with, working in the business, you know, not me to get a little personal on my end of it. You know, I've overcome challenges my whole life because I have cerebral palsy, and, you know, I gotta overcome day-to-day challenges with my mobility. And, you know, I work at it, and because, you know, I work at it, I'm still walking today, thank God. And
yeah.
I just take it day by day. I'm like, you know, and you know what? It's so true, because it's like, even though I don't have the best pair of legs on me, at least they're still keeping me mobile and they're moving me to do what I gotta do. I'm still walking the same like everybody else.
Yeah.
Exactly.
So to hear you say that, they, you know, about the gold aspect, but it's like just an aspect on life as well, and that really touched me.
Well, I'm glad I could do that, and it's just, yeah, how I feel it is. It's the truth.
Yep. Oh, yeah. Well, Lance, we're nearing the end here, but I guess I'll close it out by asking you, throughout all this and throughout everything you have been through, all the wonderful battles you had, all the great moments, everything you experienced, what, and I know you take it day by day, but if you, you know, had to think ahead in the future just a little bit, what is next for Lance and Hawaii?
What is next? Well, what is next is probably me going upstairs to cook dinner. That is what's next. Now, what's next in my wrestling career is I hope that I'll have a WWE contract next time we speak. If we speak again, I'm sure we will. But yeah, I hope my WWE contract will be here and be there for me to sign.
I wish you the best. I really do wish you the best. And Lance, I gotta tell you, in January, if you don't mind, when all of the holidays are over and you start off the new year and, you know, you do your tryout, would you be alright with me contacting you after your tryout to come back on here for a follow-up and give us a little insight what it was like at the Performance Center?
No, of course. I'd love to do another one of these.
Perfect.
And I'd love to help you out and give you the inside scoop, and who knows, maybe it's some good news.
And I hope so. You know, I would really love to hear what happens with this, and you know, I can contact you, you know, whatever's the easiest for you. I can contact you by phone, or I can contact you on Facebook, whatever you like, but I would definitely love to have you back on, and I'm sure all the fans listening, they would love to have you back on and hear how this tryout is gonna go, because it's really exciting, and I know I'm pulling for you, and I'm sure everybody that's listening to this right now, they're pulling for you too, and we all wish you the best.
Thank you so much, and yes, it'll be a pleasure to come back on.
No.
So anyway, this, I can even get a hold of you next time, when my tryout is done. I believe it's around Royal Rumble weekend, I believe my tryout is. So anytime after the Royal Rumble, I'm sure I'll be able to come right on and give y'all an update.
Perfect. I look forward to it. I will keep in contact with you, and you know, oh yeah, this is the other thing. Do you have anything going on in WXW or anything in the indies or any shows coming up that you would like to promote on here?
Well, WXW is ran by my father, Headstrick and Stambo. We found a local in Allentown, Pennsylvania. We've been here for about 25 years running shows every month. So the first Saturday every month, our next show is December 3rd. Unfortunately, I will not be able to attend that one due to another booking I have with Maryland Championship Wrestling. I also have House of Hardcore coming up in Philadelphia on December 16th and House of Hardcore on the 17th. The 17th in, Joplin, Maryland, which is right outside Baltimore. And then December 6th, I go on my first international tour to Africa, to Nigeria. So, I'm looking forward to it.
It sounds like it's gonna be a lot of fun. I'm sure you'll enjoy yourself, and I appreciate you coming on the show tonight and accepting my invitation to come on and telling all of these great stories and, you know, just, shining the light on all of us, you know, with what wrestling's all about. And it's just perfect. I really appreciate you taking the time to come on here because I know you got a busy schedule, and you know, just the time you gave is greatly appreciated here.
No problem. Thank you for having me.
Well, you're welcome, and I look forward to having you back on the show sometime either in late January or early February to hear about how that tryout went. I will definitely keep in contact with you, and I look forward to having you back on early next year.
Sounds good to me.
All right. Thank you very much, Lance. You have a great night.
Thank you, and everyone else, too, that's listening.
And no problem, and we look forward to having you back.
All right. Take care.
You, too.
Bye.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen. Mr. Lance Anawaii. Absolutely incredible interview. I had the time of my life, you know, even some eye-opening comments from Lance. And I look forward to having him back after his tryout at the Performance Center in January. And I wish him all the best of luck. I really do wish him all the best of luck. And hopefully when he comes back on here next year, he'll have that good news for us that he's got the WWE contract. So praying for Lance and hoping for the best. But anyways, ladies and gentlemen, we go from one huge interview that we just had here right now to another one that I'm going to talk about. And I'm going to pull this up on screen share for you so you guys can see it if you did not tune in last night. Sean and I, you know, we did the Survivor Series predictions last night, and I made an announcement on our next upcoming podcast, which will be episode number 31, but let me find it here, if I can find it. All right, because I want to make this announcement, but for those of you watching on YouTube, I want to tell you on the screen share part of it here. But if you have any questions or any comments, you know, with the podcast that you just heard with Lance, incredible, incredible interview, please leave those likes and comments down below, and I'll be sure to get back with you. But let's see what we got here. I'm just about ready to do the big unveiling for you guys here. All right, guys. I got it up on the screen. So, next Wednesday, that's 6 days from now, because today is Thursday, November 17th, 2016. On Wednesday, November 23rd, 2016, at 9 p.m., we have a very special guest, and he's a legend. I am so honored to be having him on the show next week. It is such a privilege to welcome none other than, there you see it, the Patriot Del Wilkes. This is going to be an incredible interview with Mr. Wilkes. I am so honored and privileged to have this opportunity with Sean next Wednesday night at 9 p.m. on November 23rd, 2016, Thanksgiving Eve. Join us for the exclusive podcast with professional wrestling legend, the Patriot Del Wilkes, in an in-depth interview. I'm really looking forward to it, guys. I really am. This is going to be a huge interview for us here. And I hope you guys are going to be a part of it. I really, really do. I want you guys to be a part of it and just enjoy, you know, just enjoy, sit back, relax, and enjoy this groundbreaking interview. But other than that, guys, that I wanted to share with you, I know Survivor Series is coming up on Sunday night. And what I'm going to do is I will be having a Survivor Series review and results on Sunday night, right after Survivor Series ends. So we'll definitely be doing that. I venture to say, as far as time, it should be about 11:30 to midnight, where I'll hit the air and I'll come on and I'll review Survivor Series and break it all down for you. So I look forward to doing that. So make sure you join me, because that will be on Sunday. And then after that, the next time you'll probably see me will be for the Patriot Del Wilkes interview. So big things coming here on the channel, ladies and gentlemen. But other than that, let's see what we got. I'm just checking our live chat here on YouTube to see if any of the fans had any questions tonight. Let's see. All right. Well, we got some great reviews from Lisa here, one of our fans. She enjoyed the podcast with Lance. And she's hoping, and it's funny because I said I'm sure my fan base is going to want to see Lance back. And Lisa here has a message for Lance, even telling him, I hope you come on and join Big T again. So, yeah, if Lance and Hawaii, if you're listening, there's a fan already. And you just got off the air 5 minutes ago. And there's a fan that wants you back on the show. So that follow-up podcast in January will be absolutely epic. But other than that, ladies and gentlemen, this is it for episode number 29 of the podcast. And then, let's see. The next time that I'll be on the air with you again, like I said, is Sunday. So keep an eye out for that one on Sunday night. As far as Sean, I don't think Sean will be joining us on Sunday night because I think because of his schedule that he's got going on, I'm not 100% sure, but I'm thinking when I do Survivor Series that it's just going to be me flying solo that night. Then Sean will probably be back on with us when we do the Patriot Del Wilkes on Wednesday. So lots of big things coming up, and I'm just getting my outro video ready here. You know how we close out the show every time. We close the show with Mr. EC3. So, of course, you know, I'm not going to leave off the air until I do that. But anyway, guys, yeah, so Sean, we probably won't be seeing Sean on the show till Wednesday, unless he can pop in on Sunday, which I hope he can. And another big thank you, just to run down the list one last time. A big thank you to Mr. Lance in Hawaii for coming on the show, sharing his stories and his experiences. Absolutely incredible, incredible interview. Honored, you know, to be a part of it. I am truly honored. And let's see what else, guys. Survivor Series. I'm just looking up to see if there's any news and rumors before I get off of here, but there's not really anything going on. Figured I might try to do a breaking news report, but nothing really surfacing. But again, big thank you to Lance on Hawaii. Don't forget to join in Sunday night for Survivor Series review. Then Wednesday night for the Patriot Del Wilkes. That's going to be a big interview. So big week coming up. And don't forget, Thursday's also Thanksgiving. So Thanksgiving's coming. Then you got Black Friday. I'm sure everybody's going to be out shopping. And then after that, we move on to Christmas. So The year is closing in on its end, people, but just like this show is right now. And actually, before we can put episode number 29 to rest, we gotta have the, we gotta have come on and say goodbye. The 2-time TNA World Heavyweight Champion, Mr. EC3, Ethan Carter III. I'm gonna bring him up here on the screen. Hold on 1 second. Here's Mr. EC3. You're gonna see him right now. Yeah, there we go. All right. So, gentlemen, this is it for me. I've been your host, Big T. Thank you to Lance and Hawaii. And I'll see you on Sunday night for Survivor Series, next Wednesday night for the Patriot Del Wilkes interview. And that's all. So episode number 29 is coming to an end, and we will talk to you later on in the week. Take care of yourselves. Don't forget to leave a like on your way out the door. Greatly helps out the channel. Don't forget to leave your comments and subscribe, most importantly. And check out my website, www.beyondtheringwithbigt.com, and all that good stuff. Thank you again for tuning in and listening to episode number 29 with Lance and Hawaii, and I will be talking with you very soon. Have a great weekend, everybody, and I hope you all enjoy Survivor Series, and we'll talk to you soon. Here's EC3. Good night, everybody. I don't know if you guys heard that. I mean, I heard EC3 coming through on my speaker, but I'm hearing from a couple people that I might have had a technical difficulty. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to break it out old school just in case. I'm going to break it out old school on my phone here. And let's see. Put up old school on my phone the way I used to. It may have came in. I don't know if it did come across, so sorry if I'm doing it again. But I got word from one of my people that they don't think they really heard it come through clearly, so just in case, let me do this. All right, ladies and gentlemen, so hope you enjoyed episode number 29. I'm about to close it out right here, right now, with Mr. EC3 once I get this video pulled up. I'm trying here. Bear with me. Just got to do this on the phone. All right. Let me see here. All right, ladies and gentlemen. Well, here it is. I got it pulled up. The EC3 video's pulled up. So I'll do this again. This, you guys will definitely hear this time if you didn't hear it the first. So thank you very much for tuning in. We're signing off on episode number 29. And enjoy Survivor Series. And I'll see you Sunday night. And then Wednesday night. Sunday night Survivor Series review. Wednesday night Patriot Del Wilkes interview. So take care. This has been episode number 29. Have a great weekend. Good night, everybody.